T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Wednesday, hump day, July the 8th. Today, Major League Soccer is back. The first of the professional sports leagues, the major professional men's sports leagues to return. I know the NWSL is back. And Major League Soccer will have the stage beginning tonight. Atlanta United prepping for its game on Saturday against New York Red Bulls. Also today, the Braves will play their first inter-squad scrimmage of the year, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the program, talk about some of the things the Braves are looking forward to here. And, of course, we're blessed here in this town, Hugh, by having relatively new, new stadiums for the football team, the soccer team, the baseball team, and, a redo of State Farm Arena to the point where we have some of the nicest sports venues, I think, in the world.
Swanky, no doubt, swanky, cutting-edge technology when it comes to certain things. Yeah. So, yeah, that's very, very, very nice. Very, very nice. We're very, very fortunate here.
Yeah, State Farm is a world-class basketball and events arena. And, of course, we know how nice Truist Park is. It's a fabulous ballpark. It really is. And then, of course, there's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So the Athletic took it upon itself to rank the 32 NFL stadiums from worst to from best to worst. And where did it put Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Well, they didn't put it in the top five. And I know that there are people driving down Northside Drive right about now seeing a big spaceship-looking kind of building going, what was that building used for again? Mercedes-Benz Stadium didn't make the top five. And normally, sometimes we get into our fandom, Hugh, and we'd stomp our feet and say, what are you talking about? I mean, but
yeah,
it's relatively new. I mean, I'm partial to it, but I haven't seen some of the other ones that they're talking about on this list.
Okay, so what's the list? Hit me with it.
All right, so the best is U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. That's what they said.
I
haven't either.
I haven't been there. Did they give you a reason why it was the best? I mean, did they explain that?
If they did, it's not on the list here. I don't have it in front of me. I guess I could go dig it up. No, I just have the list kind of cold. But I know I've heard people say that it is a great stadium, the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. And from what it looks like on TV, it looks like it's a great stadium. Number two is CenturyLink Field in Seattle, which, I've never been to. I've never been to Seattle. Andy Bunker, who's from Seattle, says it's a great stadium. I think it kind of looks weird on TV myself. But the third best is AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Jerry Dome. Fourth is Lambeau, and the fifth is Arrowhead. So those are the top five, and Mercedes-Benz comes in at number six, just outside the top five. Now, I'm kind of curious, Hugh, what is the best? I want you to take your own personal fandom out of here, because I know you love Lincoln Financial Field, and you're an Eagle, and all that kind of stuff, and the Vet was probably one of the worst stadiums you were ever in. But just tell me, outside of Philadelphia, take Philadelphia out of the mix, what was your favorite stadium? What stadium did you think when you played in the NFL that you went into that you thought was the best stadium?
Well, when you told the story, John, it sounds like they have their ranked favorites because of certain things, probably nostalgia more than anything, or I don't think it's amenities. But for me personally, I'm going to go with nostalgia, and I'm going to say one of the ones that comes to mind is Lambeau Field. That was pretty cool, you know, because you're talking about playing in a stadium that, you know, is in the middle of a neighborhood, you know, and it's owned by the people. And I remember vividly the one time that I did go there that we were doing a walkthrough, first year in Philadelphia, 98. And we were doing a walkthrough, and I remember the fans walking through the stadium because it's fan-owned. It's a fan-owned property, and they had the right to walk through, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I would probably say Lambeau. I would say, you know, Soldier Field, where the Bears play. You know, that holds a place in high regard. You know, all the great games that the Chicago Bears played there and what that means to the city. I would say that one. Another place that I remember back in the day, Mile High. You know, just playing in Denver. I thought that was a pretty cool stadium to play in as well. What else comes to mind? Pittsburgh, the old stadium. The old one. Can't remember the name of the turf.
Three Rivers?
Three Rivers, yeah. The old one. I remember Three Rivers was nice. Three Rivers was nice because of just the history. You know, when you talk about things like that, the history of it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Soldier Field, before they rebuilt it, was a great place. And then they... And they had to update it. I get that. The old building was really old. I mean, it was like 100 years old. And then they put this thing in it that just, I don't know, it's not Soldier Field anymore. I'm going to echo your sentiments. My first, you know, I love Arrowhead. Arrowhead's got a real college feel to it. It's loud, and it sounds like a college stadium. But Lambeau is just a different world. If you're a fan of Fenway Park, for example, in Boston or Wrigley Field in Chicago, that's Lambeau for the NFL. You're right, Hugh. It's in the middle of a – when I went there, I didn't know what to expect. And it is in the middle of a neighborhood, an older neighborhood, a nice neighborhood, but an older neighborhood. And it just feels like you're on top of the game. The fans are into it. It just, even though it's not, from an amenities standpoint, it's not that. It's, you know, it's okay, but it's just got that outdoor, it feels like you're in a football stadium, you know?
No, I just remember going through, I remember just vividly, it was like bringing these big-ass buses through a neighborhood, and it just was right. The most awkward thing that you would ever see. Just imagine, like, say on your street, John, you have big buses that's carrying all this football equipment just riding through to come to the stadium that sits like in the heart of a gated complex in Atlanta somewhere. Just sits in the heart of the gated complex. That's kind of what it felt like. And it's like, wow, we're in the middle of somebody's neighborhood, and people would set up, you know, people had it where, you know, they would charge to you know, parking their lots or whatever, their grass and things of that nature. And it was just set right there. Mm-hmm. It was just it, and you go through the neighborhood and then boom, stadium. That's just how it was.
Yeah, Churchill Downs the same way in Louisville. It's just in a neighborhood and there's a racetrack. You know, it's like Clemson. I mean, I know that this is off the subject of NFL stadiums, but if you've never been to Clemson, you're driving down like a country highway, and there's a, you know, a quick stop and a gas station and a couple of buildings, a football stadium, and then to get back to, and you're like, whoa, back up here. What was that 90,000 seat thing that it's so?
Yeah, wow, yeah, just like hit you like a ton of bricks. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's really weird.
Where did that come from? But U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, I hear it, and I hear it's great. I'm not going to get into my fandom of this. All right, so at the bottom end here, they say that the five worst are this, Hugh. Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati. Fourth worst was the L.A. Coliseum, which, of course, is not going to be used for the NFL anymore. The Rams are going to move into their new stadium. And they're redoing the L.A. Coliseum, which they desperately needed to do. Good God. The third worst, Oakland Coliseum, and again, whatever they call that thing out there, it's not going to be used for football anymore. The second worst, TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville was different, you know, and anybody that lives down there knows exactly what I'm talking about. Jacksonville is a different place. I mean, the stadium was cool. It was okay, but it was in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. And it just, Jacksonville's different. It's just different in Jacksonville.
What's the stadium like? I have never been there.
It's nothing. It was nothing impressive to me. It was nice. You know, Jacksonville has a college feel to me, to it. You know, great place to play. I mean, it's a great place to stay. It was a little different. I feel like Jacksonville is suffering from the fact that the Gators are so close to them that nobody really cares that much about professional sports. That's my personal feeling. I know there's probably some people from Duval County that probably are listening and probably in their feelings about what I'm saying and, you know, the fact, whatever. I'm just telling you how I felt about
it. They're really excited about it.
I mean, you know, I try to be respectful. I try to be respectful to them. I'm trying to be. But, yeah, I mean, it just, to me, and I understand that there are some diehard Jacksonville Jaguar fans, but to me it just feels like they're always going to be overshadowed by Florida and the Florida Georgia game or anything that has anything to do with college football down there in Florida.
There is one that, according to The Athletic, is worse than TIAA Bankfield in Jacksonville, and that is the current home of the team with no nickname, FedEx Field, or maybe soon to be X Field if the team with no nickname decides not to change, in Washington. I went to RFK once. I've never been to FedEx Field.
So I think I played. When did they close RFK? Because I want to say,
I played there 30 years ago.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I played there. I'm not sure. Because I want to say I got to Philly in 98. And I want to say I'm not sure if it was open. But I remember riding past RFK because they didn't tear it down. I remember that. It wasn't torn down. I remember riding past. I don't remember actually playing in it. But I remember that. 96. Okay, so I might have, because I think maybe it was with the Jets. Let me just forget, because
So let's go to the card of yours as a player. Is there one stadium that you went into? In Lambeau, I totally agree. I mean, I'm not a Packers fan, but I loved everything about Lambeau. I loved everything about Lambeau Field. And but is there a stadium that you hated playing in and didn't like anything about?
The stadium that I hated playing in, I would probably have to say the Vet. I mean, I loved it, but I hated it because it was certain parts of the Vet where, you know, where that carpet would come up, and it was just hard. The turf was hard, and after the game, when you would go take showers, like it would be nothing for the shower to flood. It was horrible. It was horrible. The Vet was pretty bad, but it was home. You know, that's just like if you live in a neighborhood where you know, it's bad, but it's your home. That's kind of how it was playing at the Vet. It was bad. It was all bad.
I feel the same way. The worst stadium I think I've ever been in was, and you know, again, full transparency, play-by-play, the San Diego State Aztecs, Qualcomm Stadium when the Chargers played there. And I don't blame the Spanos family for leaving San Diego. The Padres got a brand-new stadium, and they got the hell out of Qualcomm to get onto Petco Park. And the Chargers said, we got to get out of this stadium, too. And they were right. Qualcomm... looks nice. Qualcomm's a funny stadium. It's in Mission Valley from the blimp. It's a beautiful area. It's San Diego. It's gorgeous. The stadium looks like it's a – will you go into Qualcomm Stadium inside? That thing was just disgusting. I mean, it was bad. Pipes everywhere and water on the floor, cracks, and it was just old and decrepit and not – you know, the locker rooms were itty-bitty tiny little things. You could barely stand up in it, it seemed. I mean, just not good. And from that standpoint, that was – the worst stadium I've ever been in was Qualcomm Stadium. And in that regard, I don't blame the Chargers for moving, but it's a shame they had to because they couldn't get a new stadium done in San Diego because of all the politics in San Diego. So that was the worst stadium I was ever in. They were, you know, Superdome before they did the – I understand they redid the lighting because they needed to redo the lighting. The stadium itself wasn't bad. He's going to slam the Swampers. No, it's just the lighting in that place was terrible. Couldn't see. It was like dark. You had to kind of squint. The NFL wants to do something to players' salaries that has a lot of people saying, uh-oh, are we about to have an NFL version of what the players and owners just went through in Major League Baseball? Yeah, I know. Stand by for that story next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute. Ah, the sounds of the National Football League. Question is, will we hear those sounds of the National Football League kind of moving forward here? You know, you think we got everything kind of, you know, our ducks are in a row, Hugh. We've got some protocols that are being agreed to, things of that nature, and all of a sudden a story like what we saw yesterday pops under the radar, and you want to slam your head down on the table. All right, prepare for this. You might recall that before we got baseball to agree to a 60-game season, the owners were at odds and going back and forth with the players time and time again with this and that proposal and how much they were going to pay them and prorating salaries and all this kind of crap that we had to go through. Well, that may have just infected the NFL, Hugh. The owners are out there saying, hey, listen, we're not going to have any fans, so as a result, we might need to hold some of your salary back. This is Tom Pelissero of NFL Network talking about that.
The NFL has proposed escrowing 35% of players' salaries throughout the 2020 season to account for some costs and potential lost revenue because of COVID-19. Now, how was the union responding to that? Don Davis, one of the union executives, said in a call with all players a short time ago, basically, we told them to kick rocks.
Of course. You know what's funny? This is one of those things that, like, before the season starts, this is a conversation that probably should have been had a few weeks ago, John.
No,
I mean, to
kidding.
Be totally honest. Now you're getting close to the games being played, and you want to drop this in? Man, come on now. That ain't about to fly, Chief. Nah, Chief. That ain't about to fly. I could imagine what some of the guys said or thought when they heard that. Man, are you drunk? You got to be drunk. Because you proposing that this close to the game being started? And you're talking about these preseason games and stuff like that. That's why players don't trust owners, you know, because they're doing stuff like this. That's ridiculous. If they try this one this late in the game, they deserve what they get.
Michael Thomas, star receiver of the New Orleans, said this. He tweeted out, laugh out loud, LOL. Everyone will sit out and not play until they get their stuff together before we do this.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably going that way. It sounds like it's probably going that way because I'm starting to hear guys are starting to kind of fear for their health, rightfully so. And, you know, some guys are kind of wondering how are you going to do all this social distancing and all this other stuff with football being the game that it is. Yeah, a lot of guys are concerned about that.
Taking 35% of your salary and putting it into escrow, it's kind of a, you know, just setting it aside. But what the owners are basically saying in layman's terms.
But they get the interest, though.
Hugh, there's a lot that goes into that.
So,
sure.
So basically,
I mean, yeah,
what you talking about, it's basically setting your money aside, but who is it benefiting? It ain't benefiting me.
No,
because
it'll benefit
me being in my account.
No,
I'm sorry. You got me a little hype when you said it like that, John, because you're just putting it in escrow. Like, that's kind of how I took it.
No, you're right. I was just going to finish by saying, because some people have said, oh, so the owners want to, so it would be like if your boss took 35% of your salary, put it into escrow. Now, your boss couldn't use it for anything else. It's your salary. So it's not like that they can access the money and spend it on anything. They can't. It's an escrow. But that's the reason for escrow. It's your money. We're not touching it. And so they can't, and they, by the way, they wouldn't get the interest off it either because they couldn't touch it. It's an escrow, but that doesn't mitigate the fact that they're taking 35% of your salary and setting it aside. Now they would have to pay you that at some point in the future, but when is that? And you know, so yeah, the players are.
But what about the interest? But what about the interest though? Because you're talking about they can't touch
the player.
Interest.
Would get the interest if there is any interest in escrow. The player would get it. The owners can't touch it. I mean, it would not be their money. It would be, you know, they take $100,000 and somebody put it in escrow. If there is interest in the escrow account, that money belongs to the player. The owners can't touch it. But that doesn't mitigate the fact that they're taking your money out of your mouth right now, Hugh, and putting it in escrow and not telling you when you're going to get it.
Yeah, I can't. No, that's not going to happen. I can't see players doing that, you know, and being okay with that. Everybody in the NFL, and this is the thing that people need to understand, everybody in the NFL is not making superstar money. You know, and I know it's kind of hard to believe because you see so many guys that you say that are, you know, making money that you can't imagine that. But, yeah, everybody's not doing that.
I mean, it's a little different from baseball because it's not a pay cut per se. But at the same time, it's taking money out of your pocket, but that's not even the point here, to me. The point is, Hugh, that all of a sudden here on July the 7th, yesterday, July 7th, the owners throw this out there. What? Wait a second. Where are we? You know, really? I mean, now suddenly, we may not have fans. Yeah. What's different from that from like April?
Yeah. Like, but this is the thing, John. This is not, they're just springing it on the players because they didn't want to tell them this because they knew exactly what was going to happen. They were kind of hoping that this was going to like fly under the radar, I guess. Because you can't tell me that with everything that has happened with COVID-19 that you didn't make a contingency plan. Like, and we even heard the NFL say, "Well, we're making plans for if the fans aren't in the stands anyway." So you've been thinking about this. You've been cooking this up for a while.
Right.
You've been cooking this up for a while. You're just trying to figure out the right time to spring it on them. And you pick the time. See, that's why you get that resounding no, because this is one of those things that you do to somebody when you know what the answer is going to be, but you just spring it on them at the time you spring it on them just because. Yeah, man, go on with that. Go on with that.
I totally agree. I want to bang my head on the table. What are the owners doing? If you've known about the fact that there were going to be no fans, that there was going to be stress on revenue for the season coming ahead, you also understand that you are still, despite all of this, going to make money because it is a value-added business. The value of your franchise is going to go up even in a year where there's no fans. Heck, it'll go up in a year where there's no football.
Oh, man, you got to be crazy. I would be like, man, you got to be crazy.
Yeah. If this gets to be an issue, if the owners don't pull back off this and the Players Association goes to them and says no, and the owners say, well, you're going to have to take it or we're not going to play, you have only, in this case, there is no corresponding, this is all on the owners.
But you know what, though, and this is another thing, John. I would say that as a player, it kind of insults your intelligence. You know, because you're thinking, like, you've done everything up until this point. You even said up until this point that you've looked at every scenario with this, and you're hoping that fans are being there. But you know what? If they're not, we got a contingency plan for that, too. And the contingency plan involved you taking my money and putting it in the escrow account? Come on, man. You should have brought that to the table when you were sitting down talking about this, that, and the third. And the fact that, you know, there's a lot of reports out there that the PA, the NFLPA, the Players Association, has not had a whole lot to say about all of this. You know, like they've been kind of twiddling their thumbs. I don't know if that's the case because, like you said, I'm not involved with that.
If it comes out that DeMurray Smith knew about this and didn't say anything in public, and the owners go, hey, we told the Players Association.
This is the thing, John. I think that there's been some conversation where it's been said, well, it's been implied that the Players Association hasn't had a whole lot to say. You know, and if you think about it, in the last couple of months, there hasn't been a whole lot that has been said by the Players Association. Again, like I said, I don't know. I'm not a part of that. I don't know. But, you know, that's what it's been reported. Yeah, so if that's the case, yeah, that's a problem.
This came as part of the agreement that the NFLPA and the NFL came to yesterday in regards to protocols about traveling. You know, limiting the size of the traveling parties to no more than 110 non-players, saying to players that they have to be mandatory masks for everybody that is traveling. There are going to be no buffets, no team buffets, which is a common thing, obviously, for the NFL. But, those little issues aside, just broadly here, there are a couple of things. One is the owners look really, 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 really bad. And I'll tell you, if it does come out that DeMurray Smith knew about this and didn't say anything, I'm at my wit's end with DeMurray Smith. They need to let him go.
That's who they picked. They picked him. I remember it vividly. I remember the scenario because I know Troy was working down there for the PA, Troy Vincent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, there was some talk and speculation about he was going to be the next in line for the Players Association, and they didn't hire him. They wanted DeMurray, they wanted a lawyer, and now you get what you got. And you know, I've met him a couple times, but since that time, since I've met him, John, and he's been the PA president, hasn't, to me, on the outside looking in, hasn't done a whole lot. Has not done a whole lot. I don't know. You had to probably talk to somebody who's actually playing right now to see how they feel about him. But me, from looking from where I'm looking from, my perspective, hasn't done a whole lot.
Well, you, I mean, what these players are reacting, everyone to a man, as that they didn't know. We certainly, as fans, we didn't know. But
yeah,
the players
that's
didn't
a conversation.
Know.
So escort conversation. Knew, yeah, that's something that needs to be discussed.
Right.
That needs to be discussed. I would think if you're talking about fooling with my
represent
money,
the players you need, aren't going to tell them.
Yeah, that's something that I need time to number one, you know, come to grips with that, and number two, you need to let me know a little bit ahead of time before you start talking about fooling with my money and my check's going to look a little bit different.
You know, if we get to a point where we're having to cut down the NFL season to nothing like baseball did because of this, oh my God.
It's just funny that folks still playing these games with folks' money in a time like
this. I was thinking, you know, in baseball, we need the owners, the players, and I'll do it. We need a fans person, you know, a fans union or something, you know, to sit in the room and point fingers and say, you're at fault, get your act together. You know, gosh, I wish fans could strike sometimes. Man, God, dog. Just
wish fans could strike, but I wonder what that would look like.
Pick Six is coming up next door. It's got a list, and it has to do with animals. This ought to be interesting. All right. We'll do that as we continue on the morning show. Stand by for that. This could be different. With John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, worldwide at radio.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Wednesday. Lots still to come in terms of the program today. As it unfolds, we have more on the latest on the Redskins. There's actually a leading nickname that we might pass along to you here in a few minutes. First of all, let's get into our Pick Six segment of the day. Oren gets the honors today. And Oren, what is your topic du jour here? I know it has to do with animals.
It does have to do with animals. It is my six coolest wild animals. But the category, the set of caveats is it has to be the lower 48. So nothing in Alaska, nothing over in Hawaii. You got to be the lower 48. My favorite wild animals in the lower 48.
The contiguous United States.
Good old contiguous United States, John Fricky, yes.
Hugh, you want to take a shot at this first?
I'm going to say the black bear.
Black bear is on the list. Black bears use trees to scratch their backs. And that's just really, really cool to me. And plus, they get to sleep like the majority of the year. You hibernate. And then girlfriend and I went to Athens this past weekend, and they had an animal reserve. And, you know, animals sometimes in cages aren't necessarily the best things, but they had a bear. And the bear was just out there just chilling. And it just looked real, real cool. So just I've always been pro bear. I've never encountered one in the wild, thank goodness. And I don't know what I would do. Like they tell you to stand still or to get big. I don't know if I do either one of those. I probably run and get caught like Leo DiCaprio did in The Revenant. And it wouldn't end well for me. But, yeah, black bears are on my list. That's a very good first guess, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, I've only seen one black bear in the wild. It was in the Smokies above Gatlinburg on my honeymoon, no less. Driving, and a bunch of people pulled off the side of the road, and the maven said, hey, listen, there must be a bear, and it was down the hill. It wasn't any threat to us. It's the only time I've ever seen a bear. You know, but that was it. The only time I've ever seen one. You ever seen a bear in real life outside a zoo, Hugh?
Who, me? Nah. I know that, you know, when I was in Connecticut, there are some bears running around in the neighborhood up there, but I've never actually seen one in person.
I will guess bison.
You guys are 2-4-2. Bison is on the list. Those things, like, they are so majestic. And just roaming animals like that, I've always been fascinated with. I don't know what it is about them. Just roam like buffalo and bison, like, just, yeah. I can't tell you what it is I like about the bison, but I am a big bison fan. It's just a majestic, big-ass animal that just knows it's big and rolls with it, man.
Have you ever been up close to one, Oren?
No, never been up close to a bison. Are they gentle?
Well, I don't know. It was behind it. It was in a cage.
I'm gonna say probably not. I'm gonna probably say bison put hands on you if it have to.
They put hooves on you.
Yeah, yeah. Put them hooves on you.
Big. It's like nothing you want to run across in the wild. I mean, those things are huge, and they stink.
Well, I don't think they appreciate you talking about their odor, John.
I don't think they really care about what they smell like, you know, to be honest.
Man.
What's worse, the bison or Stinky Town? What's stinkier?
Well, it'd be appropriate if they ran through Stinky Town. Oh, my God. Phew. Man, those
quick little needle reel to New Orleans real quick. Yeah. So you got the – all right, so those three are good.
All right.
Or those two are good. Yeah, I don't know if you'll get the rest of these. These are sort of there.
I'm going to say, since we're going to go with the big theme and Majestic, I'm going to say Moose.
Moose was an honorable mention on my list. Did not make the list.
The dumb question, are moose in the lower 48? I know they're in Alaska.
They got moose. I would think they'd be like.
Yeah, maybe up in Washington State or something.
That's what I was thinking. Minnesota. That's what I was thinking. Or Michigan. They might be moose.
What, Dakota? Ain't no moose in Dakota?
I have to check the map to see if they migrate into Dakota.
I'm about to Google it. I'm about to do my Google.
Maybe in Montana. Maybe Ted Turner has some hanging on his land in Montana.
Yeah, but does that count if you import them? I mean.
I don't know. You saying Ted doesn't get his moose the honest way?
No, moose are in, they're in Canada.
They're in Canada?
I got that wrong. They're in Canada.
It's okay. I will go with the good old-fashioned cougar, the mountain lion.
No cougars on my list. Respect the cougar, both as the animal and as the other version of cougars. Respect the game, but no, the cougar is not on my list. There are no cats on my list.
Abe just said there are definitely moose in the U.S. I knew Abe would know. Okay,
what do you mean in the lower 48? Yeah, I mean, obviously.
There are no cats on my list. No cats. No cats.
No cats
on my list.
Oh, well, no black panther either, huh? Okay.
Okay. So, is it my guess?
Go ahead, Hugh Douglas.
I'm going to say in the alligator family. Alligator.
Thought about putting the gator, but as a bulldog, I couldn't.
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding me?
I couldn't really do it, man.
I mean, I respect that. Seriously. I respect that level of
play. No, gators are cool. It just, I respect any animal that doesn't have to move around a whole lot to be physically imposing. I respect that. A gator can just sort of sit there and just not be bothered with you, man. And yeah, I respect
unbothered
that.
Unbothered alligators.
Unbothered alligators. Just whatever you're going to do, just don't do it close to me because that's not going to go well for you if you do.
All right, so my next guess is going to involve a personal story. The only time I have ever been scared out of my underpants in my entire life was going down in my summer, my 18th year. I went and spent the summer with my grandparents in Michigan. And so in southwestern Michigan, and there was a rattling in the basement. My grandfather said, go down and check that. So I took the flashlight down into the basement and turned around to see a wolverine face to face.
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah. It scared the living you-know-what out of me.
No, aren't they? But vicious.
No, they're not that small.
They're like one of the toughest animals in the wild.
I mean, 35, 40 pounds. I mean, they're not tiny.
And they're pretty muscular, too.
Yeah. John, the wolverine did not make my list.
And the teeth on that thing when it snarled at me, I mean, I was running. I don't know. I think I took two leaps to go up 20 stairs.
So I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that the remaining four on my list, God, they probably aren't scary at all. Like, if you encounter these in the wild, I think you'd be more apt to take a photo of it and Instagram it than rather be like, oh, look at this, rather than, oh, my God, look at that.
Well, then I know one of them. I know exactly one of them.
I'm going to guess deer.
No deer on my list.
No deer?
Respect the deer, but I feel like I see deer too often for me to be sort of like taken by them. So deer did not make the list.
Don't let deer kick you. Deer kick hard.
And they jump too. People put up fences, 8-foot fences, saying, I'll keep the deer out. No, it won't. We got bald an 8-foot fence. Bald eagle.
Bald eagle, not on my list.
Oh, wow, dude.
No.
You said take a photo.
Yeah, take a photo. If I saw a bald eagle in the wild, I'd take a photo of it. You're right about that. But the bald eagle did not make my list. There are no birds. No, there is a bird. There is one bird on my list, but it is not a bald eagle.
One bird that's not a bald eagle.
A penguin? Penguin's a bird.
I don't think penguins are native to the lower 48.
No, they're not.
You know, it was just my first thought. But it was that's just a good thought.
If the Penguin wasn't into the lower 48, I might put Penguin on the list because Penguins, man, they, dude, they just waddle, man. And they don't walk, they waddle. And I respect any animal
that
doesn't walk but waddle.
Hey, and Grizzlies are not on the list, right?
No more Bears.
No more Bears. Ooh. Okay, what else was I about to guess? Wild horses.
No wild horses. No horses. No equines. That's the word, right?
How about a boa constrictor?
No snakes. No snakes. No more reptiles on my list.
Man, one bird is not a bald eagle. Are we missing something that's obvious?
One of them, I'm going to tell y'all one of these. Y'all going to make fun of me for it. But it's a fairly prominent animal. I'll give you a hint. Jay Cutler. Okay.
Raccoon?
I love trash pandas, man.
Raccoon, John.
Something about animals that use their hands to eat. I don't know what it is about that, but no, I love watching animals that can use their hands to eat, man. Like, they just sit there, like, they use their hands. Like, who does that? Raccoons do. I love, like, I can sit there and just watch a, like, feed a raccoon, watch it pick something up with his hands and chew it, and, like, just, yeah, that.
Are we into, like, armadillos here? Or is that where we're going with this thing?
No
possum.
No possums, no armadillos.
I like the fact that people are starting to give me guesses. How about coyote?
Coyote did not make the list.
Shout out to my man Sanchez. He gave me
that. By the way, one of the coolest things I ever saw was in Arizona, driving out to a place called Pinnacle Peak, which is a steakhouse that you may know of you. And we're driving out there. It's late afternoon, so the sun is up. And running alongside the car was a roadrunner. It's the only time I've ever seen one. And it was pretty neat. If you've never seen a roadrunner, is that the bird, by the way? Because roadrunners are birds.
No, did not make the list. We got about a minute here.
Pelican.
So.
Pelican.
Not a pelican. It's two water animals and one. This bird is loud. Like, it's really, really loud. Like, the actual, like.
Oh, you're talking about, you're talking about a peacock.
No, not a peacock.
You might as well just tell me, man. I'm done guessing.
Two water animals.
The bird is a
shark?
Is a screech owl.
A screech owl. Yeah, that would have guessed
it's
that
so
one.
So tiny, man. Little tiny birds. Yeah. And they can turn his head like. And they
never would have guessed screech owl. Screech owl. Never would have thought screech owl.
The last two are water animals. Not a shark. Not a shark.
A guppy.
One's in the river and one's in the ocean.
A beluga whale.
Catfish.
No.
We're just totally spitballing here. We're out of time here, or you just have to give it to us.
So the ocean one is the manatee.
The manatee.
The big old lazy sea cow, man.
That's a sea cow. Yeah, sea cow.
I respect the sea cow. And then river otters, man, they sit there and crack nuts on their belly, and they eat food off their belly. Just something about that. And again, too, like otters use their hands to eat. Like, I'm serious. Like, you find me an animal that can use their hands to eat, I'm sold, man. I could just.
I got a feeling you're about to be ridiculed for this list. Somebody did say otter. Obi-Wan came in like 14 seconds too late, about a couple minutes too late, and said otter.
Yeah.
Give me an animal. Wayne came in and said otter a minute ago. Yeah, I should have, yeah.
When we go fishing in the ocean, we would take a bag of rocks and throw them at the otters. Because
why would you do that, John?
Because the otter, you catch a fish, and as you're reeling it up, the otters follow you, and they take your fish.
Well,
no, you're not taking my fish. Go get your own fish, you stupid otter. We don't hurt them. We just throw rocks at them. There's an update on the Redskins' nickname. There may be a leader in the clubhouse for their new nickname. We'll tell you what it is next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.